Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear viewers, this is the 9th episode of the 17th topic. As you would recall, we have been discussing the chains of narration of the Sabat al-Ahruf narrative, and we have discussed various personnel who report this narrative from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at the moment, we are discussing marfu narratives. We have discussed the Umar Hisham variant reported by Umar radiallahu anhu. We have then discussed a narrative from Uthman radiallahu anhu. And in the third place, we were discussing variants reported by various students of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu. We had already discussed two of his students who report this variant from him. One of them is Sulaiman ibn Surad, and the other one is Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla. So in both these cases, we have already gone through the critique. But now in the third place, we are going to discuss Abdullah ibn Abbas. So Abdullah ibn Abbas is also reports narratives from Ubay ibn Ka'b, and the variant that he reports and that I'm going to discuss now is well known to us. I'm not going to read out its text and translation. It has been just briefly displayed before you. It is the same translation in which Ubay was at loss when he saw someone reading a surah in which he himself had been taught differently, and then he brought the matter before Prophet, and the Prophet actually ratified both of them. Now, as you can see, the chain of narration is being displayed before you from Ubay ibn Ka'b. The person who narrates is Abdullah ibn Abbas. From him, we find Sayyid ibn Jubair, and then Ikrimah ibn Khalid. And from Ikrimah, we have Maqil ibn Ubaidillah. So about Maqil, we have some jar that I'd like to point out before you. About Maqil ibn Ubaidillah, Nasai remarks have been recorded in the text of the narrative already. As you can see, Imam Nasai has already pointed out one particular aspect, and he says, Laysa bizaqil kawi. That is already found in the text of the narrative. Ibn Hajar records about him, Saduqun yukhti. Both Ukhayli and Ibn Adi have mentioned him among the Zu'afa. Abu Hasan al-Qattan says, Maqil indahum musta'azaf. Two opinions about him are reported by Yahya ibn Ma'in, and one of them is that he is Zarif. So it seems that he is Zarif, and his the Zorf or the weakness is basically his memory. Also, viewers, of importance is the fact that this narrative has the anana of Sayyid ibn Jubair. As you can see from the chart, it is Sayyid ibn Jubair who reports from Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he reports from him, Abdullah ibn Abbas, through an anana. Now, it may be noted in the corpus of hadith literature, there are many narratives of Sayyid ibn Jubair which he has heard directly from Abdullah ibn Abbas, and others which he has not directly heard from ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas. We have already discussed this a while ago, but what we need to understand is that whenever Sayyid narrates directly from Abdullah ibn Abbas, he always specifies this by saying the specific words. For example, Haddasani ibn Abbas, which means, of course, ibn Abbas narrated to me. Or he would say Samirtu ibn Abbas, which means I heard from ibn Abbas. Or he would say Akhbarani ibn Abbas, which means ibn Abbas informed me. But when he narrates indirectly from ibn Abbas, he either names the person in between. Example, he would say Haddasani Mujahidan ibn Abbas, which would mean Mujahid narrated to me from ibn Abbas. Or he would say, Haddasani Ikrama ibn Abbas, Ikrama narrated to me from ibn Abbas. Or he does not name anyone at all and just says, An ibn Abbas, which would mean from ibn Abbas. Now, as far as the narrative and the discussion is concerned, if all its variants are analyzed, it will be found that in all of them, the words are, without exception, are An ibn Abbas. He has not named anyone from which he, which is in between. Which means that Sayyid ibn Jubair actually never heard this narrative directly from Ibn Abbas, because we know that if there was someone, he would have mentioned it. This is customary in his case, and hence we can in all probability conclude that Sayyid heard it from someone who had actually attributed it to Ibn Abbas. So there was someone in between who has not been named, so, and thus this anana of Sayyid ibn Jubair also is something which clearly it tells us that this narrative is also suspect and should not be regarded with any authenticity. Now, viewers, let us move on to the fourth person or the fourth student of Ubay ibn Ka'b who narrates from him. And the narrative, again, is very similar that we have already seen regarding Ubay ibn Ka'b. You can see it's a rather comprehensive chart being displayed before you. Now, if you can see in the chart, that except for one, all the variants contain the anana of Humayd al-Tawil, all of them. And we know that Humayd al-Tawil is a mudallis. So this has been pointed out a number of times. For example, Ibn Hazm's Tabaqat al-Mudallisin clearly says that Humayd al-Tawil is a mudallis, and all his narratives, except one, as I said, have his anana. Now, let us look at the one exception, as you can see in the chart being displayed before you. In that one exception, Zayd ibn al-Hawara is very weak. His name is being indicated by an arrow. So Zayd ibn al-Hawara is weak. Ibn Habban, while recording him in his al-Majruheen, says he narrates things from Anas which are fabricated and have no basis, and gives the impression that only he knew them from Anas. And the words are, لا يجوز الاحتجاج بخبره ولا كتاب حديثه إلا الاعتبار. So Yahya bin Ma'in says, لا يجوز حديث زيد العمى, who is the same person. And you can see that he is being indicated by an arrow in the chart before you. Ibn Abi Hatim says that in the opinion of Abu Hatim, he is ضعيف الحديث يكتب حديثه ولا يحتج به. And in the opinion of Abu Zur'a, he is Laysa bil Qawi, Wahil Hadith Zarif. According to Ibn Hajar, he is Zarif. Ibn Sa'ad says that he is Zarif al Hadith. Ibn Adi records, according to Yahya ibn Ma'in, he is Laysa bil Shay. And that according to an opinion attributed to An-Nasai, he is Zarif. And that perhaps Shurba has never narrated from anyone more Zarif than Zaid. According to Al-Jawahiri, he is Majhul, and Jawahiri has expressed his opinion in his Al-Mufid bin Mu'jam Rijal al-Hadith. Now, viewers, also I'd like to point out another person on whom we find Jarrah, and he is Muhammad ibn Fadl ibn Atiyah, and as you can see that his name is also being displayed before you and indicated before you by an arrow. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal says that he is Laysa Bishai, and that his narratives are the narratives of liars. And وَلَا يُكْتَبُ حَدِيثُهُ, he further adds this. And then he further says that it is further recorded that Ibrahim ibn Yaqub al-Juzjani al-Nasai ibn Kharash say that he is Kazzab. And I'm just reading out this jar from Hafiz Mizzi's Tahzib al-Kamal. Yahya ibn Ma'in says that he is Zaif, Laysa Bishayin Kazzab. Ali ibn Madini has also regarded him to be Zaif. Ishaq ibn Rahway says that he has torn what he wrote from Muhammad ibn al-Fadl. From Amr ibn Ali, Muslim al-Nasai and Ibn Kharash say that he is Matruk al-Hadith. Al-Mufadl ibn Ghassan says that he is Laysa Bisika. Abu Zura says that he is Zaif al-Hadith. Abu Hatim says that he is Zahib al-Hadith, Turika Hadithuhu. Abu Dawud says that he is Laysa Bishai. Salih ibn Muhammad says that he would fabricate narratives. Ad-Darqutni says that he is Zaif Matruk. Ibn Habban says that he fabricates narratives from trustworthy people, and that it is not allowed that his narratives be written except, as has been said earlier on, for secondary evidence. Ibn Adi says that most of his narratives do not find corroboration from trustworthy narrators. Ishaq ibn Sulaiman regards his narratives to be lies. Yahya ibn Zurais has also regards him to be Kazzab. And Abu Bakr al-Khatib says that both in Bukhara and Baghdad, he would narrate manakir and mu'zal narratives. So this is the Jarrah is continuing. Ibn Sa'd says that he is Matruk al-Hadith. And remember, viewers, we are discussing Muhammad ibn Fadl ibn Atiyah. Al-Bukhari has recorded him in his Zurafa and has said, Sakatu anhu. Ibn Hajar says, Kazzabuhu. At-Tirmidhi says that he is Zayib al-Hadith. According to Al-Jawahiri, he is Majhul, we have already seen that. And Muhammad ibn Isa ibn Hayyan, Muhammad is Zaif also now. He is the third person, and you can see that his name is also being indicated by an arrow. He is Zaif and Matruk according to Darqutni, and Matruk according to Al-Hakim also. So this renders this chain of narration as extremely questionable and suspect, and we cannot depend upon it. Now, let us move to the fifth person who narrates from Ubay ibn Ka'b, and he is Ubadah ibn Samit. And the narration also I'm not going to read out because it is very similar to what we have already been discussing vis-a-vis Ubay ibn Ka'b. As you can see, that its chain of narration is now being displayed before you. Now, the problem in this chain of narration is that all variants contain the anana of Humayd al-Tawil. You can see that from Ubadah ibn Samit, the person reports is Anas ibn Malik, and from Anas ibn Malik, it is Humayd al-Tawil. And Humayd al-Tawil is a mudallis. All his narratives contain his anana, all the variants, and so therefore this narrative also cannot be regarded with any authenticity. Next, viewers, let us move on to the sixth person who reports from Ubay ibn Ka'b, and he is Zir ibn Hubaysh. And this is the famous narrative in which the Prophet, Ubay ibn Ka'b actually had said that the Prophet met Gabriel and said, "Oh Gabriel, I have been sent towards an unlettered people. Among them are old men and women and young men and women and those who have never read any book." And Gabriel said that, "O Muhammad, indeed the Quran has been revealed on seven Ahruf." Already, I've already read out this narrative before you when we were discussing the various representatives very earlier on in the very first talk, but I've just revised it because it has been lesser discussed than the others. Now the problem here is with this chain of narration, as you can see that this is also being displayed before you, the weakness lies because of Asim ibn Bahdala. Now you can see the arrow pointing to his name. Asim ibn Bahdala is the focal point. He is the person from which these chains then further branch out. He is the person who narrates from Zir ibn Hubaysh. He's a very famous student of Zir ibn Hubaysh. Authorities like Abu Hatim ibn Ulayya, Abu Ja'far al-Uqayli and Andarkutni are of the opinion that he does not have a sound memory. So Asim ibn Bahdala is famously known to have a bad memory, and hence we can also rely on this narrative. Viewers, next we move on to the seventh student of Ubay ibn Ka'b, and he is Abu al-Hakam. His narrative is also the famous narrative generally which has been reported by Ubay ibn Ka'b, in which he has said that when I was in the mosque, I read a verse from Surah Nahl which the Messenger of God had actually taught him. And a person entered who had read it differently. And again, we find Ubay ibn Ka'b questioning that person and then going to the Prophet, and we find that the Prophet is actually telling him that the Quran has been revealed on seven Ahruf. This is again a famous narrative we have already discussed. Its chain of narration of yours is now being displayed before you. As you can see from Ubay ibn Ka'b, the person who reports is Abu al-Hakam. Now this chain has problems which I would like to point out. Now first of all, there is no one by the name of Ubaidullah ibn Umar who is the teacher of Sayyid ibn Abi Hilal. As you can see, viewers, that from in the chart being displayed before you, from Abu al-Hakam, the person who reports is Ubaidullah ibn Umar, and from him we find a person called Sayyid ibn Hilal reporting. The problem, as I pointed out, is that there is no one by the name of Ubaidullah ibn Umar who is the teacher of Sayyid ibn Abi Hilal or the informant of Sayyid ibn Abi Hilal. Similarly, there is no Abu al-Hakam who narrates from Ubay ibn Ka'b. In fact, I have not been able to locate the exact name of Abu al-Hakam, that who exactly is the person whose kunya is Abu al-Hakam. Because of similarity of content, if this report is compared to the one in which Ubaidullah ibn Umar reports from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, who reports from Ubay ibn Ka'b, then perhaps Abu al-Hakam is actually Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla. But again, as I said, this is my own conjecture. God knows best about it. But this is only one possibility. About Harmala ibn Yahya, Abu Hatim says, "Yuktabu hadithuhu wala yuhtajju bihi." But the problem, as I said, is there. We already seen the problem in the link between Ubaidullah ibn Umar and Sayyid ibn Abi Hilal. And if, as far as the personality of Abu al-Hakam is concerned, again, we have the problem that who exactly is Abu al-Hakam. And if he is Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, then viewers have already pointed out the nature of inqita between Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla and Ubay ibn Ka'b in the very first instance when we were discussing him. So this also renders this whole narrative to be weak. So viewers, we have discussed now all the students of Ubay ibn Ka'b who report this narrative from him. And now I'm going to move on to the next narrator in this regard. But before I do, I'd like to point out some discrepancies within the reports narrated by Ubay ibn Ka'b. Now, these various reports are actually worth mentioning, and I would also like to quote Tamanna Imadi in this regard, that he has actually, while criticizing a variant in which Ubay heard two people in the mosque reading the Quran differently, the famous ones that we have already discussed, Imadi says, now I'm going to just cite what he has said, that in those times people would generally come to the mosque to offer the prayer in congregation. Individual prayers would be offered at home. This is contrary to what the narrative depicts. because we have seen the narrative say that people would come and recite in loud voices. Otherwise, obviously, this is the only possibility in which Ubay could have heard them reading something. And the second point that he raises, that is very, very improbable that the two people would read the same portion of the Quran. This is something of a very valid point, because if Surah Nahl was being read, for example, by one person, and Ubay had another version of Surah Nahl in his mind, and then another person came up, he also read Surah Nahl. So it was such a big coincidence, such a miraculous happening, that it is hard to believe that this would have happened, that people reading the same portion of Surah Nahl, two people just coming out, it's hard to believe that this would have happened. Now, besides these discrepancies, which Tamanna has pointed out, as I said earlier, I'd like to point out some others as well. And if deep deliberation, all the narratives from all the variants from Ubay ibn Ka'b show that they actually reflect one incident. In my humble opinion, that it is basically one incident. However, while some narratives have omitted some details in some of these narratives, there are several contradictions found in what they have actually reported. Now, some variants show that difference in reading the Quran was actually between two people that came to the direct notice of Ubay. And this, viewers, can be seen in a number of narratives, but for example, in Nasai, Sunan al-Kubra, volume 6, and narrative number is 10506, this is the case. Now, some other variants say that this difference in reading was actually between Ubay and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So whereas the first say that it was the first type of variant say that the difference in reading the Quran was actually between two people that came to the direct notice of Ubay, and actually Ubay had heard these two people. Other variants, and for example this particular second variant that I'm talking to is found in the Musnad of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, this says that this difference in reading actually took place between Ubay and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So this is the second version. Then there is a third version as well, which is differing from the first two as well. Now, some variants report that the difference in reading occurred between Ubay ibn Mas'ud and a third person as well, who is not named. Now, we have these variants again in the Musnad of Ahmad ibn Hanbal and other books, in which the difference is extended to a third person, but that third person is not named. Similarly, there is another fourth discrepancy, and that is that some variants depict the difference in reading took place between Ubay and an unnamed person. This is, for example, the case in one of the narratives in the Musnad of Ahmad. And some variants add the detail, and this can be seen in An-Nasai's Sunan al-Mushtaba. They add the detail that this incident took place in a mosque. Again, this is something of a discrepancy. And another discrepancy, viewers, is that some variants say that this difference in reading took place in a mosque between Ubay and two other unnamed people while each of them was praying. So again, this is the case. And these variants can also be looked up, and they are, for example, found in the Al-Jami' al-Sahih of Imam Muslim, in Ibn Abban Sahih, in Sunan al-Kubra of Bayhaqi. So again, this gives us a different picture. So these are the discrepancies that we can clearly note and see. And of course, in the presence of this, it is hard to place what exactly took place. Although we can gather the fact that if we leave out these minor details, then perhaps the major problem or the major issue is the content of the narrative. It says that the Quran was revealed in 7 Ahruf, and we have already critically viewed that none of these variants which have been reported from Ubay are flawless. Each have their own problems. But again, besides the problems which exist in the chain of narration, I have just pointed out a few discrepancies in the content as well. Viewers, now let us move on to the fourth person, or the fourth Sahabi, who has reported this marfu narrative from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. So just to recap, we have discussed Umar رضي الله عنه, we have discussed Usman رضي الله عنه, we have discussed Ubay ibn Ka'b, three major narrators who have reported this narrative. Now we are coming up to the fourth person who has actually reported this narrative, and he is, as I said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Now, as far as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is concerned, let me just, in a brief summary, point out that the people who report this narrative from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud are five. The first of them is Abu Salama. The second is Fulfula al-Jurfi. The third is Abu al-Ahwas. The fourth is Abu Ubaidah ibn Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The fifth is Abu Isa ibn Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So, as you can see, that these are the seven students of Abdullah ibn Masud, who discussed this narrative or who report this narrative from their teacher, and he's Abdullah ibn Masud. Now, the first of them is, let us discuss the first of them, and in fact, we have already discussed this narrative. This is by Abu Salama, and this is the narrative in which you can just briefly see the text in its translation being displayed before you. This is the narrative in which people adduce the fact that it basically says that the Quran was revealed. The previous verses were books were revealed on one Ahruf, but the Quran was revealed from seven gates or seven doors on seven Ahruf. And then we find that the narrative goes on to describe the types of Quranic verses. We've already discussed this narrative before you, but I'm just recapping it because Abu Salama, who is the narrator of this narrative, is one of the students of Abdullah ibn Masud, and we'd like to look up this narrative in more detail. As you can see, its chain of narration and its schematic illustration is now being displayed before you. Now, coming back to the criticism on this chain of narration, according to Ibn Abdul Barr, there are basically two flaws in this chain of narration. So, as I already pointed out very earlier, it is Ibn Abdul Barr who has actually critiqued this narrative. And the first critique that he has presented is that Abu Salama, he actually never met Abdullah ibn Masud. So according to him, the narrative would be Munkata. And Abu Salama is actually Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Auf. This is his full name. So Ibn Abdul Barr says that the narrative is Munkata, it's broken, because Abu Salama never met Abdullah ibn Masud. Now, number two, the second critique that he's presented is that his son Salama is an unreliable person. So Abu Salama's son Salama is an unreliable person, and the words that he has used are Laysa mimman yuhtajju bihi. He's not among those who can be relied upon, who can be adduced from. It may also be pointed out that according to Waqidi, Abu Salama died at the age of 72 in 104 Hijra. This means that he was born in 32. Because if he died in 104 Hijra at the age of 72, then he would have born in 32 Hijra. And we can clearly see, and we have clearly noted, that Abdullah ibn Masud actually died in 33 Hijra. So the inqita, or broken, the nature of this narrative is very obvious. And perhaps owing to the same reason, Ibn Hajar has regarded this narrative to be weak, although he's not pointed out the nature of its weakness, but he has said that this narrative is weak. It may also be noted that in the chain of At-Tabarani, like, as you can see that the chain is being displayed before you, in the chain of Tabarani, there's a person called Ammar ibn Matar. His name is now being indicated before you by a red arrow. He is a suspect narrator. He is a suspect narrator. Ibn Hibban records, he would steal narratives and mix them up. His exact words are, Yasrikul hadith wa yuqallibuhu. He would mix them up, he would steal narrations, he would mix them up. And whatever he narrates should not be relied upon except to become familiar with him only when a person of similar sort also narrates it. So again, like a secondary evidence. Al-Zahabi records about him. So we are discussing actually Ammar ibn Matar. So now we are discussing the Jarr of Zahabi. He says, in the opinion of Abu Hatim, he would lie. Ibn Adi says, "Ah hadithuhu bawatil." Dharqutni says that he is za'if. Uqayli says that he would narrate manakir from trustworthy people. So all in all, you can see the extent of Jarr on Ammar ibn Matar, and therefore he is a person who is extremely unreliable and cannot be relied upon. This is in addition to some of the other flaws that I have just pointed out. Let us move on to the next person who reports this narrative from, or a variant from, Abdullah ibn Masud. And his name is Fulfula al-Jurafi, and he has also narrated something very similar to what we have already seen earlier on from the previous narrator. The text is almost very familiar. I'm going to skip reading out the text and its translation. You can just briefly skim through it. But as you can see, now we come to the chain of narration of this narrative, which is being displayed before you. Viewers, please have a detailed look at this chain of narration. The first problem with this chain of narration is that no Jarr or Ta'dil is available on Usman ibn Hassan. As you can see, his name is being displayed before you and indicated by an arrow. The only person to narrate from him is Abu Hammam, which in other words would mean that Usman ibn Hassan is Majhulul Ayn. We know that Majhulul Ayn are those narrators from whom only one person narrates. And it is perhaps because of this reason that while commenting on the variants mentioning Usman ibn Hassan, Shoaib al-Arnaut says that their isnad are za'if. he's this made this general comment, but it is perhaps because of this reason. And of course, when I say Shawil Arnaout, I'm referring to his voluminous work which he has done on the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He has pointed this out in one of the volumes. It was, to be exact, volume 7 and page 283. Now, let us look at another narrator, and he is Al-Qasim ibn Hassan. As you can see that his name is also being displayed before you and indicated by an arrow. The opinion of Bukhari is recorded about, the opinion of Bukhari about him is recorded by Az-Zahabi in these words, and that is, Hadithu munkar wala yu'raf. Again, something which is very alarming. Ibn Kattan says, La yu'raf haluhu. So again, these comments are actually pointing out to the majhul nature or the unknown personality of Al-Qasim ibn Hassan. Only two narrators report from him, and he is therefore majhul al-hal. In reality, people who are majhul al-an are those from whom just one person narrates, and majhul al-hal are those people from whom only two people narrate. So it seems that Al-Qasim ibn Hassan is also majhul, but contrary to the earlier person, Usman ibn Hassan, who was majhul al-ain, he is majhul al-hal. If he is not, let's move on to the third person who reports from Abdullah ibn Masud, and he is Abul Ahwas. And viewers, this is a narrative which we have discussed earlier on, perhaps, and so I'm just going to read out briefly its translation before you. And it says that the Prophet said, reported by Abu Ibn Masud, that the Quran has been revealed on 7 ahruf. Each of it has an outer aspect and an inner one. So the words are in the Arabic are Unzil al-Quran ala sabati ahruf likulli ayatin minha zahrun wa batan. So each of the words has an inner aspect and an outer aspect. Also the word says وَلِكُلِّ حَدٍّ مُتَّلَعٌ. That's an expression which has been variously translated, but in my opinion it means that the outer aspects has a way through which they can be known. So the exact would be لِكُلِّ آيَةٍ مِنْهَا زَهْرٌ وَبَطَنٌ وَلِكُلِّ حَدٍّ مُتَّلَعٌ, which mean that each verse of it has an outer aspect and an inner aspect, and each inner and outer aspect, each of these inner and outer aspects has a way through which they can be known. So this is as far as Abul Ahwas's narrative is concerned. You can see that its shortened scheme of illustration is being displayed before you. The problem with this scheme of narration, viewers, is that Ibrahim ibn Muslim al-Hajri is unreliable. Ibn Abi Hatim says that Yahya ibn Ma'in says that he is laysa bishay, and that in the opinion of Hatim, he is laysa biqawi layyinul hadith. An-Nasai regards him to be zayif. Ibn Sa'd says that he is zayiful hadith. Al-Bukhari says, Kana ibn Uyana yuza'ifuhu. So Ibn Uyana, Sufyan ibn Uyana, would regard him to be weak. Ibn Hajar says that he is layyinul hadith and converts mawkuf narratives into marfu ones. So he would convert narratives which have been reported by Sahaba into narratives in which a Sahabi reports directly from the Prophet himself. So he will be guilty of this thing. Ibn Hibban has recorded him in his Al-Majruheen and said, Kana mimman yukhti fayakthuruhu. And he would be a person who would make mistakes, and these mistakes would abound in his narrations. Next, viewers, let us look at Mughira ibn Miqsam. He is being displayed. His name is being displayed and indicated by an arrow before you. He is a mudallis, and all variants contain his anana. So again, this is something which severely impugns this narrative. Let us now look at another person, and he is Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri. Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri is a mudallis, and again here, if we collate all the variants, we'll find that all the variants have his anana. As a result of this tadlis, Az-Zahabi records on the authority of Jarir ibn Mughira that he is not a trustworthy person from what he reports from the Kufans. And by the way, because this narrative is also from a Kufan, in which he reports from a Kufan, and he is off Ibn Abi Malik al-Kufi. So this is a further problem with Mughira ibn al-Miqsam. Let us also move on to another narrator, and he is Abu Bakr ibn Abi Uwais, and his actual name is Abdul Hamid ibn Abdullah. So though most authorities regard him as reliable, An-Nasai says that he is Zaif. And as for Ismail ibn Abi Awais, his full name actually is Ismail ibn Abdullah ibn Awais. And about him, now we are talking about him, and you can see that his name is being indicated by an arrow. Ibn Hajar records, according to Muawiyah ibn Saleh, he and his father are Zaif. An-Nasai has also called him Zaif, and at another place called him Ghair Siqa. Yahya ibn Ma'in says that he and his father would steal hadith. Ad-Dulabi has recorded in his Az-Zu'afa that he heard Nasr ibn Salama say that Ibn Abi Uwais is a great liar, and the Arabic words are Kazab. Muhammad ibn Ajlan is a mudallis. Now, let's move on to another person, as you can see that his name is also being displayed before you. So, Muhammad ibn Ajlan is a mudallis, and all the variants contain his anana. Az-Zahabi has recorded that he is Sayyul Hifz. Once, when it was said to Imam Malik that some knowledgeable people narrate hadith, when he asked who they were, he got the reply that among them was Muhammad ibn Ajlan. Imam Malik replied that he, that is Muhammad ibn Ajlan, did not know such things and was not a scholar. So we have a very strong critique by Imam Malik on Muhammad ibn Ajlan. So as you can see, as a result of this critique that we have seen on these narrators, that this chain of narration also stands to question and we cannot depend upon it. Next, now move on to the fourth person who narrates from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and he is Abu Ubaidah ibn Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And the narration, very briefly, if I could just read out a translation before you, it would be that the Quran has been revealed on 7 Ahruf, so who he read on one of its harfs, he would not leave others by discarding. He should not leave others by discarding them. So if a person is reading a Quran on one harf, then he should not be actually discarding other huruf as well. So the words are, فَلَا يَتَحَوَّلَ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِهِ رَغْبَةً عَنْهُ. Now this narrative, viewers, has a severe problem, and the problem is that the narrative is broken as Abu Ubaidah ibn Abdullah ibn Mas'ud has not heard from his father, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So actually, Abu Ubaidah ibn Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is his son, but he's not heard from his father. Ibn Habban and Miziz say that though he narrates from his father, he has never heard from him. So they have specified that he does report things from his father, but he never actually directly heard these things from his father. Al-Mizzi goes on to record on the authority of Abu Dawud that Abu Ubaidah was 7 years old at his father's death. Ibn Hajar says that there is a difference of opinion in whether he heard narratives from his father or not, but most scholars are of the opinion that though he met and heard from him, he never heard narratives from him, actually. So he could have heard from him, he could have met, but the majority say that he never heard narratives from his father. And hence, his narratives from his father will be regarded, when he narrates from his father in this manner, it would be regarded as the least on his part, and you would agree with him. Now, viewers, another person who is a suspect in this regard is Ayyub ibn Jabir and Yahya ibn, in fact, there are two people. So Ayyub ibn Jabir, you can see that his name is being indicated by an arrow. And then we have Yahya ibn Abdul Hamid al-Himani, and you can also see that his name is being indicated. He's the person who actually reports from Ayyub ibn Jabir. About the former, that is Ayyub ibn Jabir, Hafiz Mizzi records that in the opinion of Yahya ibn Ma'in, he's Zaif and Laysa Bishai. An-Nasai says that he is Zaif. Abu Zura says that he is Wahil Hadith and Zaif, and Abu Hatim says that he is Zaiful Hadith. Ibn Habban has recorded him in his Al-Majruheen and says that he errs so much that he cannot be adduced form. Such is his nature. And Ibn Hajar says that he is Zaif. And next, viewers, the other narrator who actually narrates from him, or from Ayyub ibn Jabir, is Abdul Hamid. His name is Yahya ibn Abdul Hamid al-Himani. Ibn Abi Hatim records that Abu Zura stopped narrating from him. Ad-Zahabi says that he is Laysa bi-Mutqin, and that Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Ali ibn Madini have impugned him. Qad kallama fihi Ahmad wa Ali are the exact Arabic words which have been recorded by Ibn Abi Hatim in his Al-Jar wa Ta'dil. So viewers, now we move on to the fifth person who reports from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and his name is Abu Isa ibn Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and I'm just going to briefly report his narrative. And it says that Umirtu an aqra al-Quran ala sabat ahruf kullun shafin kafin. So this is also something we have already discussed in various forms. A simple translation would be, I have been directed to read the Quran on 7 ahruf. Every one of them is enough and sufficient. So the words are kullun, kafin, shafin. As you can see, viewers, that its chain of narration is also being displayed before you. Primarily, it is a narrative which has been recorded by Tabri only. And we have issues with this narrative. And Ahmed Shakir has actually pointed out flaws in this narrative. Now, here is what Ahmed Shakir has said. He says that firstly, the grandfather of Abu Isa ibn Abdullah ibn Masud should be Masud and not Abdullah ibn Masud. As the narrative says, he says that this would mean that Abu Isa ibn Abdullah ibn Masud is the grandson of Abdullah ibn Masud and not his son. As you can see, viewers, the words in the narratives are an Isa ibn Abdullah ibn Masud and Abihi and Jaddihi. So we can see this already present in the narrative. So this is what actually Ahmed Shakir has pointed out, that this would mean that Abu Isa ibn Abdullah ibn Masud is the grandson of Abdullah ibn Masud and he's not the son, as would be the case. And the name of the grandson is attributed to his grandfather. So the problem here is that the name of the grandson is attributed to the grandfather. He further says that this could have been accepted had there been some Abu Isa in the descendants of Abdullah ibn Masud. So this is not the case. Moreover, as far as his own sons are concerned, there are only two, Abdul Rahman and Abu Ubaidah. So Abdullah ibn Masud's only two sons are Abdul Rahman and Abu Ubaidah, and we do not find any son of Abdullah ibn Masud to be named as Abu Isa ibn Abdullah ibn Masud, besides the problem that he has already pointed out. And he finally says that perhaps there is some tahrif in the asnad that he has not been able to detect. But the problem he has pointed out is sufficient to make us decide that this narration also is suspect. So viewers, these are the five students of Ibn Masud who narrate this report from him. We have seen the various reports and the variants also, that none of them has any tenability, none of them can be accepted as reliable. And this also brings us to the end of our discussion as far as Abdullah ibn Masud is concerned. Inshallah, in the remaining talks, we shall take up other narrators who have reported this narrative. And until then, أَكُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ